You know, Christmas is a celebration of the good news. And if you look at our readings today, when the angel came and appeared to the shepherd, what did the angel say? I have some good news for you. Not bad news, not news that's going to depress you, but I have some good news. And he talked about, in so many words, the reality of a Savior coming to the world for them, about a great light coming into the darkness. And this was wonderful news to be celebrated. It says in John 3:16, they're loving those hats and those things, aren't they, the books? Yeah, I know. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, one of the wonderful things that all of us celebrate tonight, even in just the giving of gifts, is the reality that God gave the first gift of Christmas, and that was the gift of his only Son, Jesus. There's a wonderful Christian group, contemporary group I love, called the Barlow Girls, and they sing, "Hallelujah, we've been found. A child is born to save us now. Hallelujah, light has come. A Savior who sets us free. A promise for those who believe." And you know, it's interesting, in John's gospel, that last part of John 3 where it says, has died to bring us eternal life, has come to bring us eternal life. John uses that phrase 17 times in his gospel. He uses it 6 times in his epistles. In the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in all of those, it's only used 8 times. For the apostle John, that word, that phrase, eternal life, is very important. And I think what John is saying to you and me as we celebrate the birthday of Jesus is that the whole reason why Jesus gave the gift of his Son, the whole reason why you and I gather here to celebrate Christmas together. Yes? Jesus was born in a barn. Jesus was born in a barn, that's right. It's the feeling, that's right. It's not all about the presence, it's the feeling too. I agree. And you know, the feeling that's engendered in our hearts is a feeling of love toward God, isn't it? Because God first loved us. And this whole reality of eternal life is so profoundly important. Did you realize that one of the most important decisions that you and I will make as we live upon this earth is where we will spend eternity? And that is why God gave the gift of his Son, that we might say yes to the light and walk in that light and bring glory to him. In fact, a little later in John 3:19, it says that some continue to walk in darkness because they love the darkness more than light, and their deeds are evil. So you see, one of the realities that you and I have to embrace, even this Christmas Eve of 2017, is the mystery that some people, even in light of such a great gift, even in light of such an amazing Savior, still choose the darkness. Let it not be said of you and me. Let it be said of you and me that we choose the light, that we choose the gift of Jesus Christ in the depth of our hearts and be open to walking with him in the fullness that he wants to bring to us. And that's the second thing that we celebrate. You can smile tonight. That's the second thing that we celebrate this Christmas Eve, and that is Christmas is a celebration of reconciliation. It's about making things right and bringing peace between all of humanity and God. We read in God's holy word, even when we were God's enemies, he made peace with us because his Son died for us. Yet something even greater than friendship is ours. Now that we are at peace with God, we will be saved by his Son's life. You see, even as we gather here this Christmas Eve with the promise of all that the baby Jesus brings for us, we realize that this gift of Jesus' life ultimately will be one of sacrifice. It will be one of suffering. It will be one of dying for our sins that we might be made right with God. And as we confess our sins and embrace the saving grace of Jesus, we make peace with God, a peace that will flow out from us to others. And that's the way the peace is supposed to flow. You're not supposed to dam up the river of God's love in your heart. You're not supposed to keep it in. You're not supposed to keep it private. But that river of God's love is meant to flow through you and be a blessing to other people around you. Think about it in your own life. Hasn't that been what's been a blessing to you? Has been other people reaching out to you in love, reaching out to you in care, reaching out to you in concern. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so this river of love, this river of grace, this river of mercy, this river of peace is to flow from out within us to others in celebration, in good news, in God's love, in reconciliation, in peace, flowing from you out to others who are around you. People that you love, and it's easy to let that flow toward them, and people that you can't stand. Don't have enough time for that tonight. Not even going to spend a little bit of time with that. You know what I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. I know. It's just been that kind of a year, hasn't it? But you see, one of the things that you and I need to realize is that, hallelujah, love has come. Love has found us. And the invitation for you and me in the lives of one another, in the lives of our children, in the lives of the culture in which we live right now, is to be radical lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to allow his love to penetrate our hearts, and to share that love in a way that is sacrificial with those that are around us. Do we always do that perfectly? Absolutely not. Are there struggles that we will have? Yes, there will. Will there be disagreements among each other? They already are happening. But it doesn't change the call of God's great love ministering through you and me as he has given us the first gift of love in his son, Jesus Christ. In closing, thanks be to God. I know, I'll go there, that's fine. The kids are really excited, I know. I'm moving for you, kids. I'm with you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Can I ask you a couple of questions that I'd like you to think about as you head on your way later on tonight? The first question that I'd like to ask everyone here this day is, in the past year, what are you thankful to God for? In the past year, can you think of one thing that you're thankful to God for? And you don't have to come up with a quick answer, but I invite you to think about that and to consider that. The second question I'd like to ask you is that, in the coming year, what gift will you give Jesus for his birthday? Since we are celebrating his birthday this Christmas of 2017, I want to ask you, what gift are you going to give Jesus for his birthday? You would never show up to a birthday party without a gift. It just wouldn't happen. They might not even let you in the door without the gift, depending on who the friend is, right? And so I'm asking you and me, what gift will you give Jesus in this coming year? And whatever gift that you give him, go big. Go big. Give it to him. Give something to him that's sacrificial. Give something to him that'll mean something to him and to you. Give something to him that will be a blessing not only to your life, but to the lives of many others. May I make a suggestion? Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Merry Christmas, and God bless you. Amen.